95 years young.
Hear the sounds of the meadow. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Steve Grzanich is up next with the opening bell, and we'll be back tomorrow. Wildcard Wednesday and Kevin Powell talking sports. We'll see you then. Hear the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Rokan Show with Ana DeVellantes weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. WGN News Time is 5 o'clock. Let's get to the newsroom and Vic Vaughn.
Thanks, Nick. Good morning. Strong winds on the way today. Calm conditions for now at O'Hare. It's foggy and 38 degrees. It's official. As of midnight, 311 operators began taking calls from property owners in Chicago who want to split the cost of sidewalk repairs with the city. Again, just call 311 to apply. The city brought in extra workers at its 311 call center, expecting a high volume of phone applications. You can also apply at the city's website. Visit chicago.gov. Today's day 18 of an ongoing partial shutdown of U.S. federal government. There wasn't much movement on Monday toward ending it. President Trump says he'll address the nation later tonight, primetime address. He's expected to call the situation at the U.S.-Mexico border a humanitarian and national security crisis. ABC's Jonathan Carl.
No indication, but he has made this big point of calling for a primetime address. I'm not convinced he's going to pull the trigger on this because it would be a very messy process. It would be another court challenge and a very real possibility that he would be denied in the court.
And Democrats are threatening to hold up all legislation until it's over. Funding for a border wall remains the sticking point. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was not on the bench Monday. She's recovering from last month's cancer surgery. Here's ABC News senior national correspondent Terry Moran.
Chief Justice John Roberts began court session by noting Justice Ginsburg's absence and saying that she will vote in these cases by reading the transcripts of the arguments and the briefs as other justices have done.
It's the first time she's missed arguments in her 25 years on the high court. Coming up on today's agenda at the Supreme Court, it'll hear arguments in a copyright case. A fatal hit and run Monday outside a Southside Auto Zone. Friends of the victim say the driver knew the man he killed and that the two had even argued Sunday. 22-year-old Carlos Posados was beneath the car fixing its brakes. Witnesses say the driver sped into the lot and swerved intentionally into that car. Posados was killed instantly. Ricardo Morales is his neighbor.
He works every day, and on Sundays he comes here to pick up some jobs, you know. He paid his bills, you know. He was a good friend.
It happened at the AutoZone parking lot on 87th Street near the Dan Ryan. Driver sped off. Bystanders caught up to him and detained him until police arrived. We'll check WGN Sports here. Good morning, Dave Ennett.
Thank you. Good morning. There's a new top dog in college football this morning, or rather a top cat. The Clemson Tigers captured their second college football playoff championship in 3 years. Unlike their nail-biter 2 years ago, this was a blowout. Clemson trailed defending champ Alabama 16-14 early in the second quarter, but had a 31-16 lead at halftime, then tacked on in the third for a 44-16 romp, a stunning outcome for the Crimson Tide, their worst loss under Nick Saban. Quarterback Trevor Lawrence passed for 347 yards and three touchdowns for the Tigers, and they are atop the final rankings and national champions. Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins, the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year, is moving on. The sophomore confirming he'll forego his final year of eligibility and enter the NFL draft. One night after one of their most impressive wins in the season in Pittsburgh, the Blackhawks came up short at home. Our Xfinity Blackhawks report. Hawks fell to Calgary 4-3. Johnny Gaudreau with a pair of goals. Patrick Kane, Alex DeBrincat, and Brandon Saad scored for the Blackhawks, who will host Nashville tomorrow night. And in the NFL, while the Bears were cleaning out their lockers in Lake Forest, the Green Bay Packers were hiring a new coach. Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator Matt LaFleur set to take over, replacing the fired Mike McCarthy. On the home of the Blackhawks, the Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
I heard about you. You're doing some traveling. Here's something you should not pack. I'm John Williams. Do not pack knee pain. It'll come along if you let it. It'll be in the car, on the plane, and when you get wherever you're going, it'll pop right up and say, "Ain't it great we're together?" Here is how to keep knee pain from tagging along. Go to the Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park, now in Oak Brook, too. The Joint Relief Institute uses digital imaging. They see where your knee is compromised. They put a joint lubricant into that spot. This painless, quick, non-surgical procedure is almost most surely covered by your insurance. And wow, it'll make going to Florida or South Carolina or Arizona or the dentist or wherever you're going a lot easier. And the Joint Relief Institute's new location's easy to get to, too. They're in Oak Brook, right off of Cermak. Same number for either location, 708-888-0000. And happy travels, unless you're the one going to the dentist. But still, you don't want to go to the dentist in pain, do you? I mean, heck, you're already going to the dentist. Don't bring your knee pain. Okay, I'll stop. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Listen to Rokon, broadcast live from the United Center this Wednesday before the Blackhawks take on the Nashville Predators. Sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Your money on WGN. Global trading's mostly higher today. Overnight trading in Asia finished mixed, but trading's higher this morning across the Eurozone, and U.S. futures point to opening gains later this morning on Wall Street. The Dow finished higher yesterday. It's up 8% since Christmas Eve. WGN traffic. Here's Mary Vandeveld.
Traffic sponsored by Indeed.com. No major concerns on the area roadways so far this morning. We do have some new sewer work that's starting, though, on the north side. Devon will be closed from Richmond to Sacramento. This will be going on until February 18th. Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
The WGN forecast, meteorologist Tim McGill.
Well, the winds pick up today just as the temperatures begin to fall off a little bit later on this afternoon, so not a good combination. Right now, the winds aren't that strong. The wind advisory will go into effect at 11 o'clock this morning and will last until 9 o'clock this evening. Winds could gust later on today around 40 to 45 miles per hour. So mostly cloudy for us today, turning windy and colder. We'll start off near 40 but fall into the low 30s by this evening, so slowly but steadily falling, it looks like. Could see a few sprinkles this morning, maybe a few flurries mixed in towards midday. Shouldn't amount to much, though, mainly just kind of cloudy. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few flurries possible early, then blustery down to 20. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the coldest day we've seen so far in a while, 24 for the high. Thursday, partly to mostly cloudy, 28. We're up to freezing on Friday, mostly cloudy. Some snow Friday night, and during the day on Saturday, maybe an inch or two is the early indication on this. A high of 31 Saturday. I'm Tim McGill from the WGN Weather Center.
Thank you, Tim. So strong winds late morning. Right now it's foggy and misty at both airports, 38 at O'Hare, 39 downtown. I'm Vic Vaughn in the WGN newsroom, ready to join the conversation live whenever a story changes on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
More Britons want to remain a member of the European Union than leave, according to a poll on Sunday. The YouGov survey of more than 25,000 people said the split was 54 to 46 in favour of remaining after the undecided and those who refused to answer were removed from the sample. Britain is due to leave the EU on March 29th, but Prime Minister Theresa May is struggling to get her exit deal approved by Parliament.
Las Vegas this week is getting transformed into one massive tech lab, with self-driving car companies cruising the streets and gadget makers unveiling their latest products. For example, glasses that help the see and a remote-controlled glove to help amputees pick things up.
President Trump is kicking his messaging strategy into high gear, coming on the heels of a burst of appearances.
Without a wall, you cannot have border security.
The president will address the nation Tuesday night from the Oval Office, his most significant effort yet to sell Americans on his demand for a border wall that has led to a partial government shutdown, seemingly with no end in sight. Just this weekend, Trump pledged not to bend in his demand for $5.6 billion to pay for the wall, but said the barrier could be made of steel instead of concrete as a potential compromise with Democrats who refuse to fund it.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's January 8th, 5:09 in the morning. Thank you for being here with us for another edition of the opening bell and another business day getting underway. Lots going on today. It's going to be a busy day in the business world. We've got markets for you momentarily. We'll keep you posted on news, weather, and sports during this hour as well. And first up this morning, we're going to be talking about all of that stuff you do around your home to keep your household in order, you know, balancing the checkbook, keeping appointments for the kids. It's called Life Admin, and we're going to be talking to a researcher about
how it could be stealing a lot of time from your life without you knowing it. Elizabeth Emmons will be here first off this morning. A little bit later in the program, researchers on the gig economy now say that their estimates were a little too high about the impact of the gig economy on the overall economy, and we'll talk a little bit about that coming up at 5:40 this morning. They overshot the estimate on that, and we'll tell you what this could mean moving forward, especially if you are working in the gig economy, at about 5:40 this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The future of bankrupt retail giant Sears could be revealed this morning. The company missing a Friday deadline to report if it was still considering an offer by former CEO Eddie Lambert to fund a $4.4 billion deal to keep 425 stores open. Creditors have concerns about the proposed financing for the deal and want it examined. Federal judge will hear updates this morning ahead of a bankruptcy auction scheduled for January 4th, Sears shares barely registering at about 25 cents this morning. Futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are up more than 0.5%. Same story for the S&P and NASDAQ. And in Europe, markets are generally in the green as well, with the FTSE in London up nearly 0.75%, the DAX in Germany up more than 0.5%, and the CAC in France up more than 1%. And in Asia, markets are generally higher as well. The Nikkei up more than 0.75%. And the Hang Seng is up just a fraction. Oil is trading at $49.25 a barrel, which is up about 73 cents or 1.5%. A couple of stories, other stories that we're watching for you this morning. Mondelez International, the maker of Oreo, Ritz, Triscuits, and other brands, plans to move its global headquarters from Deerfield to Chicago's Fulton Market neighborhood. The snack maker says it will move nearly 400 employees into a five-story office building that's under construction at 905 West Fulton Market. That's in the heart of what was once the city's meatpacking district. The company says it signaled that it would perhaps sign a 15-year lease and will start relocating employees as early as April 2020, joining a parade of corporate food giants, abandoning the suburbs for the city. Most notably among some of those others is McDonald's. Amazon has passed Microsoft as the most valuable publicly traded company. At the end of yesterday's trading session, Amazon had a value of about $797 billion, while Microsoft was worth $783 billion. It's the first time Amazon has earned the title of most valuable corporation. Amazon shares surged more than 3% yesterday in a trading period that was fueled by gains in the tech sector. You know, the secretarial and managerial work that you do to run your life or household, it's called life admin, and it's probably stealing a lot of time from your life, but it doesn't have to be that way. Our guest this morning is Elizabeth Emmons. She has written a book on this called Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More, after researching this in her own life, and she's with us on the phone this morning. Elizabeth, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell. I want to begin first with a full explanation of what life admin is.
Life admin is all the office, invisible office work that steals our time. It's the kind of work that managers and secretaries do in an office, but in the home. So daily or yearly things like paying bills or doing taxes and aggravating things like lost luggage admin or broken technology admin. But also big life events can come with a lot of this work. Both happy events like a new baby and painful life struggles like a health challenge for oneself or an ailing parent or other loved one.
If we put a time clock on this, how much time are we talking about being spent on this as a percentage of a day?
It's incredibly hard to measure because so much of it is happening in our minds and in our phones and devices in the margins of everything else. So many of the people I interviewed said it felt like they were basically doing it all the time because there was no particular time for it. So it's very hard to measure in numbers. But the feeling that people who are dealing with a lot of it have is of it being pretty constant.
And that feeling is the important thing here because it's generally a negative feeling, isn't it?
Most people find this to be really laborious, particularly if you're in any kind of onslaught, if you're at any stage of life or period of time or have a life event that is really bringing this at you, then it can really be painful. In how time-consuming it is, but also even the texture of doing it. You know, if it's connected to something like, you know, a health crisis or the death of a loved one, can also just be, or divorce, can be very painful.
Are there people in the household that do more life admin than others? For instance, is it mom? Is it dad? Is it everyone in the family? And if you have a two-adult household, you and your wife or you and your husband, is that admin still going on?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So everyone does life admin, but some people do face more of it than others. In the household, the limited data we have supports what I found in my research, which is that more often, on average, women seem to be hit with more of this. They're kind of seen as the default doer of a lot of this kind of work. So especially when there are kids involved. So if there's an invitation to birthday parties, sometimes it's even just sent only to the moms. There's a different kind of expectation for some of this work on women. But I also found that it really varies household to household as to who's doing more of it. And part of it, the reason is that admin is sticky. It tends to stick where it lands. So whoever starts doing it first, whoever makes the first call to the exterminator, whoever sets up the first play date, is often the one who keeps doing it because it's information heavy. It requires information to do the thing, which is why it's easier to do the dishes in somebody else's house than to make their grocery list.
And it's interesting because as you research this, and I know there are some personal involvement in this as well, some personal experiences, but were people generally willing to talk to you about their life admin, or were they embarrassed about it, or what were their feelings about talking to you?
Both. Both people were willing to do it. In fact, people were often relieved, happy to talk about it, but they were also embarrassed. So I had many people apologize to me for talking to me about their admin, saying, oh, this must be so boring, I'm so sorry, even though I was interviewing them about life admin, because people often just feel really embarrassed about this. They're sort of privately suffering with this. But it's a really intimate space, the to-do lists that we keep, how we keep track of all the things that we need to do. These are really personal things that we rarely share with other people, but that if we think we've lost our address book, lost our phone, you know, there's a real panic, right, because there's so much that can ride on this. The big lesson here is visibility, that once I saw this work as work, I could make different kinds of choices. So the origin of the book was that after my second child was born, I realized there was kind of this overwhelmed, this feeling I had that I was overwhelmed by so much, and my mind was filled with a million decisions and details that I didn't expect would be part of the joy of parenting. And then I looked around and I realized that it wasn't just that I was privately disorganized or failing, but that everyone around me seemed to be overwhelmed as well. And there was this thing out there, this life admin labor that was coming at all of us. And once I began to see it, then one, I didn't feel so bad about it. I didn't wonder where did my whole day go when I spent the day dealing with, you know, the DMV or something. But also, two, I could make different kinds of choices. So one of the choices I learned, strategies I learned from the super doers I interviewed, so there are these four main admin personalities that I've uncovered in this, and there's a quiz in the book to, you know, find out what it is for each of us, which is fun. But one of the strategies I learned from the super doers I interviewed was to take care of things right away, bypass the to-do list without ever putting them on the to-do list. So when someone says to you, oh, do you know a good chiropractor? And you say, sure, I'll send you the name. Instead, a super doer in you says, oh, no, wait, actually I can say, what's your email address? I'll send it to you right now. And then you send it while you're standing there, and it never ends up on the to-do list. So that's one example of a kind of strategy. But actually all four of the admin personalities have strategies to offer. It sounds like a hierarchy, but it's not really.
We're on with Elizabeth Emmons this morning, the author of Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. Dr. Emmons is a professor of law at Columbia Law School. We're going to continue with our conversation. But first, we need to take a quick break here in the opening bell at 519 and over to WGN Traffic Central. Mary Vandeveld's watching you right into work this morning, Mary.
And good morning. Traffic is sponsored by Blue Emu. So far, no delays on the Edens or the Kennedy. The rest of the area expressways and tolls are in fine shape on this Tuesday morning. We have some new sewer work happening on the north side. Devon will be closed from Richmond to Sacramento. That'll be going on until February 18th. Otherwise, just watch for some very windy conditions. Could be on the roadways this morning, starting from 11 until 9 tonight. Blue Emu supports healthy muscles and joints. Blue Emu works fast and you won't stink. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mayor Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
Join WGN Radio at the biggest stair climb in Chicago. American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb at Presidential Towers, Sunday, March 10th. Presented by United Healthcare. You're the first step. Register today at WGNRadio.com/events or fightforairclimb.org.
Every business is different, with a different vision and different assets. Yet most banks offer the same ideas and the same one-size-fits-all solutions. At Associated Bank, we believe banks should offer different solutions for different businesses. It just makes sense. That's why we take a different approach to commercial banking. One that takes the hassle out of banking and works to find customized solutions for you. One that puts relationships and trust first. Sure, that's a little different for a bank. But at Associated Bank, we believe relationships matter and personalized service should be the norm. From capital markets experts who can help set your business on an upward trajectory to treasury management experts with a knack for finding new ways to make your money work for you, we offer a full-service experience with innovative tools for managing your most valuable assets. To learn more about how Associated Bank takes a different approach to commercial banking, visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership or tune in every Thursday morning at 5:08 to WGN's The Opening Bell for a discussion on current financial trends and topics from Associated Bank. Member FDIC.
We had a problem with the original windows that were installed in our house.
We are talking today with Mega customer Bill Helgren of Palatine.
We had called the manufacturer and they were, to put it nicely, less than helpful. And I had heard several of the spots about Mega Home Improvement. So I called them up and asked them to come out and do an estimate. They came out promptly, quickly, looked over the work, gave us an estimate that was well within the range, and gave us several different options in terms of the type of window and the line of window. And came out, did the work just as promised, finished it up in a couple of days. Everything was clean, neat, done well, and the window so far looks fabulous. All the work was finished on time and as promised.
One Mega call does it all.
847-658-8989. 847-658-8989.
Megapros.com.
One mega call does it all.
Hey, it's Steve Cochran. If your goal this year is to get out of your timeshare, your plan ought to be to call Timeshare Exit Team. Why? Well, they get thousands and thousands and thousands of timeshare owners out every year. Start 2019 with a real plan to get rid of that bad asset. Call Timeshare Exit Team today, 844-409-EXIT, to schedule your free consultation. That's right, free. They're so confident in their service, they're going to get you out of your timeshare, or they'll give you a complete refund. Call 844-409-EXIT. TimeshareExitTeam.com, 844-409-EXIT.
Now that you've decided to buy or sell your home, choose Wilk Real Estate, a family-owned company, not a franchise. Hi, it's Brent Wilk of Wilk Real Estate, and I'll take a more personal approach to your housing needs and wants. If you're in the market to buy, I offer a free list of homes. If you're going to sell, I'll provide you a free, no-obligation market valuation on your home. Call me at 630-229-6624, 630-229-6624, or ChicagoAreaHomeExpert.com. That's ChicagoAreaHomeExpert.com.
One's gold, one's gold.
Tomorrow,
one's gold.
The Predators from Nashville visit the United Center.
Hey, it's Alex DeBrincat,
Brent Seabrook,
Duncan Keith,
Jonathan Tate,
this is Patrick Kane.
Hawks Preds pregame starts at 6:30. John Wideman and Troy Murray with the puck drop at 7.
Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, a couple of stocks of local interest this morning. Mondelez International up nearly a half a percent at 41.12 a share, and Walgreens Boots Alliance up about a half a percent at 69.97. This is the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Stocks are expected to open higher today after a topsy-turvy start to the week. On Monday, the Dow was down more than 130 points, and then it was up over 250 to close up at the century mark. The NASDAQ and the S&P also in the plus columns. The Institute for Supply Management, which is comprised of purchasing managers, says its index fell to 57.6 last month, down from a November reading of 60.7. But the numbers are still encouraging. Any reading above 50 signals growth. World Bank President Jim Yong Kim will resign at the end of the month, almost 3 years before his term is up. His departure could set off a battle between the Trump administration and other countries who have complained about the influence the U.S. exerts over the bank. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
We're back with Elizabeth Emmons, the author of Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. She is a professor of law at Columbia Law School as well. Been researching life admin, those kinds of things you do every day, scheduling doctor's appointments, paying bills, doing things like that at home. Takes up a lot of time. We've been talking about it in various different forms. But, Elizabeth, I'm curious, is there something that we can teach young people to better prepare themselves for this life admin and perhaps be able to handle it in a better way?
One of the policy ideas in the book. The last chapter has some policy ideas after I go through individual strategies and relationship ideas. And one of them is that we should have admin ed in schools. We should all be taught skills for doing life admin at school. But even in terms of our own homes, one change we can make is that we can start rewarding kids for remembering to do things in addition to doing them. So instead of saying, so when my kids are about to get up from the table, instead of saying, clear your plates, I say, what are you going to do next? And then my six-year-old can say, oh, I'm going to clear my plate. And I'll say, good remembering. And so helping support them in the remembering is one of the changes that I've made.
Is technology going to help us in this regard? I know that we all have date books and we all have iPhones and other scheduling devices, but is AI... Are robots, is some sort of technology going to save us from this in the future?
Technology helps some, and it hurts a lot. So technology is what makes possible bombardment admin, where things come at us all the time. Technology helps some people. I interviewed some people who found certain apps to be helpful for keeping track, especially for sharing information. Technology can be helpful. If you want to share a to-do list with your partner, that can be helpful. But what I found surprising was how many people actually had reverted to paper, how many people were downgrading on technology, and a number of my super doers keep paper to-do lists. I do that when I'm really overwhelmed, then I have a paper to-do list. The rest of the time, because I like to have it portable, I just use the Notes app in my phone, which is the closest thing to paper. A lot of us spend a lot of time, or some of us anyway, spend a lot of time trying to find the perfect magic bullet solution. I tried a lot of different apps for to-do lists, and I spent a lot of time doing it. And so until somebody has really tested that technology, I'm not going to be the first one to jump on board.
Is there a point in all of this where there's a warning sign that either we're failing to do a life admin because it's overwhelmed us, or we're not doing it well enough, or we're doing too much of it?
One of the questions I asked my interviewees was whether they know anyone who does too much of this work, and if they know anyone who does too little of it. And it was interesting. People often were quite delighted at thinking up someone else who they thought did too much or too little. And I found through that the idea of admin judgments. We tend to judge people for going too fast or too slow with this. And I think there's a lot more room for admin compassion, because I think most of us really do struggle with it.
As we talk about some of the personal choices and personal solutions and personal help, is that the bigger societal issue here, that we need to stop doing that and maybe be a little bit more compassionate about these things?
One of the big messages is compassion. Now when somebody says to me, oh, my laptop, you know, just died, or my phone screen is broken, I say, oh, my gosh, I see in my eyes their coming week. And the number of hours they'll spend dealing with that aggravation. And it's really nice to be able to respond to someone. People feel really appreciated that you can actually see what they're going through, because most of the time this work is invisible. But there are a lot of things that we can do beyond just compassion and appreciating each other, and that we can also reduce this work for ourselves and each other.
And as we're starting the new year off here, a lot of people are coming up with resolutions, New Year's resolutions. This seems like an area where it would be ripe for that.
Absolutely. I have a chapter on ways we can use admin towards the pursuit of any goal. And one part of that is seeing that most goals involve some kind of admin cost. So if you start a new exercise regime, you usually think about how much time the new exercise will take, but you don't think about the role of admin around it, you know, choosing what kind of exercise, where you're going to do it, when you're going to do it. If you do it with someone else, you've got a schedule with them, and then when they cancel, what happens? So what I do now is I make default plans. So I'll make a plan that I'm going to go to a particular exercise class at a particular time on Friday, slotted in my calendar. It's there every week. And I'll try to make a plan with a friend to be there too. But if one of us cancels, we're going to go anyway. The other person's going to go anyway. So it doesn't depend on rescheduling and rescheduling. And when people diet, say, it often takes a lot of time to find new recipes, find the food. You got to zero something else in order to make time for those invisible costs, or otherwise there'll be a kind of drag on the goal.
Elizabeth, thank you for giving us plenty to think about this morning and being with us on the Opening Bell.
It's really great talking to you.
Well, Elizabeth Emmons is the author of Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More, published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt, and a professor of law at Columbia Law School. Again, the book Life Admin, How I Learned to Do Less, Do Better, and Live More. It's 5:30. This is the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke, senior editor at Chicago Inno, with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know. ParkWiz, a Chicago on-demand parking app, has rebranded to Arrive. The Arrive name will serve as the company's official name, while its consumer app, ParkWiz, will remain the same. Arrive raised $25 million last year from Amazon and other investors. And ClearCover, a Chicago startup that uses artificial intelligence to help you buy car insurance, has raised $30 million in new funding. The startup last raised $11 million back in 2017. That's been today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio. To learn more, check out chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN, still ahead here in the Opening Bell. How estimates of the gig economy were wrong. Some researchers are now backtracking a little bit on their estimates about this, and we'll have that after the news, sponsored by Lake Home and Cabin Show. Here's Vic Vaughn.
Chicago State University has agreed to settle out of court with one current and one former employee. It'll pay $650,000 to professors Robert Biona and Philip Beverly. They claim the school violated their freedom of speech rights. They say CSU tried to shut down their blog after learning it was critical of university administrators. Biona retired last year. Beverly is political science professor at Chicago State. They filed the lawsuit 4 years ago. The European Union has put Iran's intelligence ministry's internal security section on its terror list. The Danish foreign minister says the EU agreed to it after allegations were brought forth by officials in Denmark and France. They say Iran was plotting to kill opposition activists on European soil. Investigators in Indonesia will resume today a search for the cockpit voice recorder from Lion Air Flight 610. It crashed into the Java Sea shortly after takeoff from Jakarta in October of last year. And in less than 24 hours from now, U.S. officials will sit down with Taliban leaders for a new round of talks in Qatar. The Taliban's fighting to reimpose Islamic law. It'll be the fourth meeting between the U.S. and the Taliban since U.S.-led troops ousted them back in 2001. We'll check WGN Sports here with Dave Ennett.
Well, it was Alabama against Clemson, part four, but this one was unlike the previous three. They met for the fourth straight time in the college football playoff and the third time for the championship, but this one was a blowout, and Clemson came out on top. The underdog Tigers hit Bama with 30 unanswered points, rolled to a 44-16 win. They finished 15-0. And the final rankings are out this morning. The AP Top 25, Clemson and Alabama 1-2. Big Ten champ Ohio State 3rd. Notre Dame is 5th. And four other Big Ten teams are ranked to end the year. Michigan 14th, Penn State 17th, Northwestern 21st, and Iowa 25th. Our Xfinity Blackhawks report, the Hawks fell to the Calgary Flames at the United Center 4-3. Hawks again trailed early. They were able to come back and take the lead before the Flames won it beyond a pair of goals from Johnny Gaudreau. And the Hawks will be home tomorrow night against Nashville. The Bulls were off. They play tomorrow at Portland. In baseball, a couple of moves by the White Sox, who agreed to terms with reliever Kelvin Herrera on a two-year deal, and they've reportedly come to terms with former Cubs outfielder John Jay on a one-year deal. On the home of the Blackhawks, the Northwestern Wildcats, and White Sox baseball, Dave Ennett, WGN Sports.
You have a passion for decorating?
Penny Mustard is hiring designers.
All you have to do is exceed expectations and turn customers into raving fans by transforming their homes into heavenly havens.
In return, you'll enjoy a four-day work week.
Your choice of commission or a guaranteed $20 per hour the first year.
Health and dental.
Retirement plan.
Paid vacations.
And a new puppy.
Sorry, no puppy.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Funbegone.
Click on the careers page and apply to be our new designer at PennyMustard.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away. So I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-900-1904. That's 1-800-900-1904. 1-800-900-1904.
A quick look at the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk numbers. Asian markets finished mixed overnight. Tokyo led gains, finished nearly a percent higher. Modest gains in Hong Kong, Shanghai, and South Korea closed with small losses. The Eurozone's trading higher this morning. France is now up more than a percent. Britain's up about a percent. Germany by nearly as much. U.S. futures indicate a higher opening on Wall Street. Dow futures up 150 points. WGN Traffic, Mary Vandeveld.
And looking pretty good on the area roadways so far this morning. Very calm on the Edens, the Kennedy, the Eisenhower, the Stevenson. Starting to see a delay into Kedzie. Inbound side of the Ryan is fine as you make your way inbound, though, on the Bishop Ford. Some delays popping up around Cottage Grove and on 57 from Halsted, but the tollways are clear. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mayor Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
And the forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. We'll spend much of today under a wind advisory. Could see up to 40-mile-an-hour plus winds. Those will kick in late morning. We have a chance of morning rain showers, then a chance of snow showers later today. High temperatures in the low 40s this afternoon. Wednesday, mostly sunny. Colder, highs in the mid-20s. Right now, it's foggy and misty at both airports. 37 degrees at O'Hare, 39 now downtown. I'm Vic Vaughn in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of the broadcast. A pair of experts on the gig economy say they overestimated the impact of how people were making a living doing various jobs like driving for Uber and how that would affect the traditional work arrangements that most of us have. Joining us this morning to talk about this is Josh Zumbrun from the Wall Street Journal, where this story appears. Josh, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me.
Pleasure to have you, because I know we have been following not only Wall Street Journal's reporting on this over the years, but this story in general. A lot was made over the gig economy back in 2015 and earlier than that. How did these experts get it wrong, and how significantly?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a really interesting topic. I mean, back in 2015, that was the year that Uber was first valued more than General Motors or valued more than Ford. And so it kind of exemplified how big people thought the gig economy was getting. And, you know, what's kind of turned out to be the case is that Uber was a real phenomenon. There's a lot of people that drive for Uber. It's a big service that a lot of people use. But most of the other things in the gig economy, especially when it comes to things that people, you know, take hours out of their day to go work on these kinds of web platforms, turns out were, for the most part, very, very small. And so you know, so kind of two things are what happened. I mean, one is that There was one company that was really growing in a big way in this space. And that's still there in the numbers. I mean, there's no doubt there's a little bit more of this activity, this kind of gig work, than there was 15 years ago or something like that. But the other reason is that, you know, back in 2014, 2015, earlier this decade, the labor market was still a lot weaker. And so some of the things that looked like people shifting to the gig economy were actually just people trying to cope with the labor market because it was still so damaged from the recession that started in 2007. And that's kind of one of the big takeaways here, is that some of the things that looked like people worried that the economy was kind of shifting this way in a really permanent way. In fact, you know, people were temporarily doing some things to make ends meet. It wasn't a permanent shift in the way the labor market worked.
These two experts, Alan Krueger of Princeton and Lawrence Katz of Harvard, how did they realize that they perhaps had something wrong here? Was it that when the job market, as you've described it, started improving and they saw that people were not doing these gig jobs anymore, or how did they realize that they were off?
Yeah, well, one of the big reasons that this was such a mystery is the Labor Department, who typically, you know, they're the ones that produce the monthly jobs report that everyone uses to kind of gauge how the economy is doing. The traditional monthly jobs report didn't ask questions about kind of alternative work arrangements. It asked if you had a job, but it didn't ask kind of the nature of how that job was structured. Now, the Labor Department used to do a special set of surveys on exactly that question. But starting in 2005, the Labor Department kept requesting it, but Congress wouldn't give them funding to study the issue. And that was exactly kind of the period when, one, the economy got really weak. Again, the recession kind of started in 2007. The labor market was really weak for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, a really unusual period in U.S. history. That was exactly when the Labor Department stopped studying the question. And that was exactly the moment that, you know, some companies did have, especially Uber, had real success. And so there was kind of this black hole right when this happened. And so Krueger and Katz were two of the economists. They're both really well-regarded economists who had stepped in and tried to do surveys of their own. And eventually what happened is Congress kind of saw how important this question was. In 2017, they went out and the Labor Department was able to kind of use some other money that it had to do a new version of the survey. They were able to get the survey done. And that kind of showed, once they were able to do the comprehensive survey, that these really high estimates were wrong. And so Krueger and Katz are kind of reckoning with how that data, once it was finally collected, you know, didn't come out the way that people had expected.
And so, Josh, now we're in a situation where the job market is so hot that it may be hard to tell again, but a lot of the folks who had gig jobs back then have now gone on to full-time employment. Is that a fair assessment of how things have kind of panned out?
That's exactly right. I mean, people thought that this was maybe a permanent shift in the labor market, that we were going to go toward a future where every company, every occupation, no matter what it was, you were going to work through an app. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think now, but 5 years ago, people were writing think pieces saying that that's what was going to happen. But, you know, no, once the economy's good, when people have the opportunity to find full-time work, that's the direction they want to go. When companies kind of have the ability to offer people a full-time job, that kind of gets them better, more stable employees. That benefits the company, too. So this idea that even when the economy is good, people are going to work this way, just not the case.
Is there a sense of how many people are doing these gig jobs nowadays? Can we put a percentage on the number of people who have jobs in the gig economy?
There's a lot of different ways that you might want to define it. If you're talking about people who kind of actually get a significant share of their income from going on an app, working an hour or two at a time whenever there's demand available for small gigs, you know, that was kind of the original idea of the gig economy. That's exactly what Uber and the other driving apps do. There's also food delivery ones. If you look at those, and again, there has been growth here, but you're talking about maybe 1 or 2% of the labor market. You know, so that's several million people. It's not nothing. But but earlier this decade, people were thinking that, you know, maybe it was 20, 30, 40%. And then there's a couple broader categories. You can think of like the number of people that are independent contractors, that are on call, that are temp workers. When you take in all those kinds of things, it ends up being around 13% or something like that. And so again, that's not nothing, but not taking over the labor force. And in fact, you know, there were always independent contractors, people who were on call. You know, there were always home contractors, repairmen who kind of worked one job at a time. So not all this activity is completely new. And the growth in it, you know, you're talking 1 or 2 percentage points. It's happened, but it's not completely changed the U.S. labor market.
You mentioned something earlier that I think is another kind of offshoot of this that was created by this wrong data. And that was the evaluation of at Uber. Were there other companies that were impacted perhaps positively then by this estimate and now negatively now, seeing some of their capital or perhaps their valuation significantly or even somewhat decrease after these estimates kind of shook out?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it really, because this seemed like it might be a plausible thesis, you had companies in San Francisco, especially Silicon Valley, who were trying to become, you know, the Uber for everything. You know, the Uber for dog walking, the Uber for doing your laundry, the Uber for washing your car. And, you know, the reality is that there was Uber. And then the other companies, you know, they just didn't take off at the same scale. You know, Uber's main competitor, Lyft, is the same basic idea. You use the app to get drivers. It's thought to be around, you know, less than 1/5 or something the size of Uber. Some of the food delivery apps people do use on a pretty regular basis, but you're still talking a fraction of the size of Uber. And then, you know, some of these other ideas of, you know, the Uber for TV delivery. I mean, I don't want to get into the specific financials of companies you might know the name of because I don't know exactly how they're doing. But, you know, the Uber for all these other topics, most of these never really took off at all.
Yeah, and some of these companies, I mean, one of the ones I think about is TaskRabbit for contractors and people doing repair work. That's another one. They're not public companies, so it's really hard to know exactly how they've been impacted.
Yeah, and I think some people certainly work on them. But, you know, the idea that, like, most people are going to spend most of their day on an app like TaskRabbit. I mean, that was just clearly exaggerated. I mean, people do use these things, and people do put their labor on there. I mean, with something like TaskRabbit, you know, you can do things like you can do things that contractors would have done, and you're just finding them on TaskRabbit instead of in the yellow pages. And so, when you're talking about that kind of activity, you're not actually talking about as big of a change in the labor market. So some of these apps, you know, really are getting use, and these sites are really getting use, but they're not actually changing things. They're just kind of a new intermediation for the way that people in some industries always worked.
What's the takeaway here? What's the lesson that we learn is not to take some of these pronouncements at face value and do a little bit more of our homework before we believe them?
Yeah, I mean, this is just an example of kind of the hype machine getting carried away. I mean, I think one of the big lessons is to kind of ask yourself if all the people who are talking about a topic are trying to raise money. You know, I mean, that was the case with the gig economy, is that part of the reason there was so much hype about it is that because all the promoters of it were people who were trying to raise money on the basis that it was a really big trend. And that should have raised a little bit more of a red flag if the only people talking about an idea are trying to raise money off it. You kind of think of Bitcoin last year as being a very similar phenomenon, where the people who were very enthusiastic about it were also people who were trying to get very, very rich off the idea. That's a little bit of a red flag in terms of what their incentives were.
Definitely. Well, Josh, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Great conversation. Come back and join us sometime.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Josh Zumbrunn is with the Wall Street Journal, and we're going to link out to his story on this about the gig economy in the podcast of The Opening Bell a little bit later on this morning. 5:48 now on The Opening Bell. Time to update traffic again this morning in WGN Traffic Central. Mary Vandeveld watching your ride into work. Mary?
And it looks like we have a reported car fire on the outbound side of the Eisenhower around Harlem, so watch for that. I'm seeing delays now. It's about 16 minutes out to Mannheim and 30 minutes out to 53. Inbound some Gapers delays as well. Otherwise, no delays on the Edens or the Kennedy. Inbound side of the Stevenson is building from Harlem into Kedzie, 26 minutes from the Tri-State. The Rhine is slow in from Roosevelt, Bishop Ford from Cottage Grove. 57 looks good. A new sewer work going on the north side. Devon is closed off between Richmond to Sacramento. This will be going on until February 18th. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
The anthem, the goal horn, Tommy Hawk and that crazy little drum. Oh, and by the way, there's a great hockey game going on, too. Get the full-on United Center experience. Full free.
Win free tickets to see the Hawks in the Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing Blackhawks Ticket Giveaway. With Anna Cochran in the morning and Rokan in the afternoon for the exact time of your next chance to win. Sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons on Blackhawks Radio, 720 WGN.
An unreliable network can cost you money. That's why you need Comcast Business. Our gig speed network is fast. And we go beyond fast with the complete reliability of 4G LTE backup, which means that even if something like construction knocks out the power, you can still upload that presentation and not take a hit to your company's bottom line. For a limited time, switch to Comcast Business and get an amazing deal on fast, reliable internet. Get 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Just one more way Comcast Business goes beyond other providers. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offerings 130-119. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Connection pro backup limited up to 6 hours and requires Comcast Business Internet. Offer price requires eco bill pay for this billing and auto pay through Comcast Business My Account.
Sometimes the thought of being in your warm and cozy home is what gets you through the day. But what happens when you get home and there is no heat? Who do you call for fast, reliable service? 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, you can consider it done when you trust the experts at ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Book your appointment today at 4abc.com and consider it done.
When you put money in the Salvation Army's red kettles, you're giving someone in addiction recovery the gift of hope, or a senior a hot meal, or a family a warm place to sleep. You're providing love and compassion. Every day, people turn to the Salvation Army to help keep the heat on, put food on the table, and keep their children safe from harm. And every day, you make it possible for the Salvation Army to give that help. Every year, the Army serves more than 1 million people throughout Chicagoland. They provide housing, cure hunger, combat addiction, and so much more. If there is a cause you're concerned about, the Salvation Army addresses it. Thank you to the many generous WGN radio listeners who have donated to our online kettle, and a special thanks to these fine Chicago area businesses: MegaPros.com, MyPillow.com, the Joint Relief Institute, Wildman Hobbies, Home Instead Senior Care, and Pearl Mortgage's team, David Hochberg. Give hope to a neighbor in need. The mission continues. Click the donate button at www.salarmychicago.org/WGN radio.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing towards some nice opening gains on Wall Street later this morning. The markets right now on the Dow up nearly 180 points, nearly 0.75%. Same story over at the S&P and NASDAQ, up 0.75% as we head to 8:30 Chicago time this morning and the opening bell. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning. The U.S. delegation that will be in Beijing for the next round of trade war negotiations will lack some of the high-ranking officials who took part in previous high-stakes meetings. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, and President Trump's top trade advisor Peter Navarro will be absent absent from the delegation, which will be led by Deputy U.S. Trade Representative Jeffrey Gerrish. And one of the important people to the agricultural trade talks will be Ted McKinney from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. China did come into the U.S. soybean market for the first time in 2019, bought at least three cargoes of soybeans yesterday. That's about 180,000 tons. But one trader said sales total was closer to 15 cargoes, or about 900,000 tons, and will be shipped from January through March from terminals in the Pacific Northwest and along the Gulf Coast state. The actual purchase by China didn't do much to the soybean market. It gained 2.25 cents yesterday. March corn was unchanged, and March wheat was down half a cent. And in livestock trade at the Mercantile Exchange, the April lean hog contract up 40 cents a hundredweight, but February live cattle up $1.45. January feeder cattle up $1.02 a hundredweight. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, January 8th. The Small Business Optimism Index for December is due out today. Small business analysts predict the index will ease slightly from November's survey. Consumer credit for November being released today. Economists expect solid growth of $19 billion after October's sharp jump of almost $25.5 billion showed a surge in revolving credit. Also today, report on international trade. We'll get the Red Book. The job opening and labor turnover survey is due out as well. And the annual Consumer Electronics Show, CES, kicks off in Las Vegas. Smart devices could have a big showing this year, as well as robots and smart homes. Companies like Google and Amazon expanding the ways people can use Google Home and Alexa devices. The CES in Las Vegas goes into full gear today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, January 8th. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And I'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here on 720 and in the Steve Cochran Show, which is coming up next. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day.
Timeless, memorable music is back on the radio
at 87.7 FM.
Great artists,
great songs,
great memories.
Right now on 87.7 FM. The music you've been missing is on 87.7 FM.
MeTV FM.
Going to a Blackhawks game wearing a red jersey with a big old tire and a wing sticking out of it. Not smart.
Hey, why doesn't anyone want to sit with me?
Using ZipRecruiter to help you find qualified candidates fast? Now that's smart. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter finds them for you. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job, then actively invites them to apply, so you get qualified candidates fast. Like 5-on-3 power play fast. No wonder ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. Number one. That's based on hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. An official hiring partner of the Chicago Blackhawks. Blackhawks fans, try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Blackhawks. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Blackhawks. ZipRecruiter.com/Blackhawks.
When was the last time you were in a food fight? I'm talking about a good old-fashioned take-you-back-to-summer-camp food fight. The Smith Sisters of Walter E. Smith Furniture just did one and used a pristine white sofa as the shield between them to prove that you don't have to worry about everyday messes when you have worry-free furniture. It's all on video. Take a look at smith.com. There's spaghetti with marinara, baguettes being used as bats to swat away soaring meatballs and red wine, all on a white sofa. sofa. But then watch how easily it cleans up. It's like it never happened. Check it all out online. Stain-resistant fabric you can put on nearly any frame. And with sofas starting at just $700, it's time to get your grown-up furniture. It's the Walter E. Smith Worry-Free Sale, where you can save up to 25% on worry-free furniture and just about everything else. There are 10 Chicago-area Walter E. Smith showrooms, or head to smith.com. That's S-M-I-T-H-E.com to learn more.
It's time for the Steve Cochran Show. Let's head over to the Allstate Skyline Studio. Justin Kaufman's over there, Dave Ennett, Mary Vanderbilt. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, you know the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, starting today in Las Vegas, right, and I've been kind of keeping tabs on what people are talking about. Uh-huh. And the most tweets I'm seeing are about this smart toilet that opens up when you walk up to it.
Oh.
It's made by Kohler.
I was thinking just the other day as I walked closer to a toilet, I was like, I wish this would just open up automatically.
I wish it would be more welcoming.
We're so lazy we can't even lift the lid.
Right.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
And then the other thing is a 98-inch screen of 8K television.
God. Now you're talking.
From Sony.
98 inches.
See, I would have liked that last night for the championship.
Oh, yeah, that would have done it.
That
would have been able to see, like...
Felt like I was there.
See both end zones while the game... Yeah, you feel like you're in the stadium.
It's like having a theater in your living room.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Then if you get the toilet open without...
How about a 98-inch toilet? Does that... doesn't... We can't put that on.
Maybe a robot to bring you snacks?
There we go. Okay, there you go. Well, we got a good show lined up this morning. Kevin Butler's going to join us. Of course, the former legend for the Chicago Bears, kicker, kid of the week.